Good evening. The time is now 5:02, and the Warwick Finance Committee is in session. All members are present. May I have a motion for acceptance of the minutes for the meeting held on November 6th, 2024? I move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Abstain.
Thank you. On to PCR 107-24, resolution relative to bids. May I have a motion for the acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on November 6th, 2024? I move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Abstain.
Thank you. The first item is item number one. This is bid 2025-244. This is the Planning Department, RFQ Design Services for Mickey Stevens Sports Complex. Good evening, Director. Just please identify when you're at the microphone. You may begin.
Hi, Thomas Kravitz, City Planning Director. Here to answer any questions on Mickey Stevens. What you have before you is a request to respond to a request for qualifications. We put out the RFQ to try to solicit firms with whom we could develop a contract and get this project off the ground. We three of us in the planning office scored the proposals, and we recommend CHA. Dean Pimentel in my office has established a budget not to exceed $1 million with which to negotiate with them. And we're here to ask your permission to enter into those negotiations. We'll ultimately have to come back to you with a contract from CHA because the amount may change, because the scope may change. But we were able to get some more information out today as requested by some on the council. Hopefully that was helpful. And I'm here to answer any questions you might have going forward.
Thank you. And I'm just going to take a moment just to remind, just to bring up a little bit of history. This is something that when I first was in the council from 2017, it was something that has been long spoke of, long desired to have Mickey Stevens active again. There was a lot of things going around, conversation about a chemical dumping site or a truck dumping site, or it's unsafe on the ground. And one of the things that we did, we started the process years ago that we just got approval on this past October, just last month, was we started the process of getting environmental clearance. With that environmental clearance came the to see if it was a place that we could continue to move forward in keeping that afield. It passed the environmental test, if you will. Now we're moving in. There were recommendations, and we got the approval letter back in October, and I remember the mayor mentioning that. This has been a long process with many moving parts. A lot of people say, well, you know, there was a grant given to Mickey Stevens years ago and we just never spent it. The fact of the matter is it would have been a waste to spend it if we would have had DEM come in and say, hold on a moment, you can't do that. And the grant, as we know, grants are very specific to what they can be used for. And it could not be used for the environmental impact study. The environmental impact study was approved by a grant led under the leadership of Speaker Sikarchi and the Warwick representatives of the city. That is what was approved. That is where we're going. This is the next step, as you said. I am very excited. I'm very appreciative that this is something that we're moving forward on. There's been a committee moving, like, you know, having open discussion of what the plans are, what the wants are, the vision of the city. And I know the Parks and Rec director has been very active on that, the different locations of different fields within the city. So this is exciting. And I thank you for the time. I promise this is all I'm going to pretty much in the meeting where I'm going to go on a soapbox. But this is a great first step, something that we've been waiting for a long time. And I want to thank the administration as well as my colleagues on moving this forward. Thank you. Are there any further questions from members of this committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
Hi, Director.
Hi.
I don't know that I necessarily, I probably do have a couple of questions. So I can start there. Thank you for providing the additional information, including kind of internal budget cost estimates. So just in looking at those estimated project costs between around 16 million and 22 million, I think you've got an average around 19 all in.
Correct.
Okay. And I see that there's in the directions in the RFQ, it is spelled out that that whoever were to win the RFQ would need to hold two public meetings to gain input from the community.
Correct.
And one of those being held through the planning board.
Correct.
Okay. And so I've reviewed the schematic that you put out, the conceptual plan. What types of input would be possible, or what types of input would be practical, I suppose, at that stage of the process, if we were to put this out and have those two public meetings? Are we talking about like the color of the lines on the tennis court, or are we talking about sort of take a step back and is this the right, are these the right types of amenities to have in this complex, or is this the right layout? Are these the right, should we have more basketball or more pickleball or more soccer or whatever the case may be?
That's a good question. What you're asking is to what degree do we flush out the perceived programming and recreational amenities, and what's going to rise to the top, right?
Yeah.
That's partly why you have the meetings and the community engagement. We are going to consult our recreational professionals, see what's out there, what's trending. We know what's a hot thing. Well, pickleball's been around a while now. There is real contamination that we have to deal with by way of the baseball fields. That's something we cannot avoid. VHB, we spent $400,000 to pay them to assess all the contaminants, come up with a plan at DEM to clean up the property. So those kind of aspects we have to tackle. But you're right, when you get to, the colors of the lines on the field, stuff like that, how many tennis courts, a skate park is in the mix is very expensive. We've got carrying a line item of 600 something thousand for that. There's a lot of things in there that we are niceties that we hope to have, we'd like to have, but we think when we consider the bond that we hope to utilize to fund this project, when you add up the numbers, when you get past the general conditions, mobilization, the earthwork, general demolition, the natural grass baseball fields and everything related there too, irrigation, dugouts, batting cages, warm-up pitching areas, bleachers, that's gonna get us to 600,000 pretty quickly right there. So what we do after that is really the question. Hopefully we can find more money, bring more grants into the process to build those amenities. And then also what's important is we schedule into the future through a phased approach, a phasing where we can just execute more of the recreational amenities with time. You look at this budget, it's close to 18 million. It's a vast site. It's very large. And it's going to have to be phased. And this type of planning will allow the city to do that. And hopefully we'll tackle some of those things as we go forward in the future.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'll just transparently, I'm very skeptical about moving this forward today. Thinking about a project like this, is it the right project and is it the right time? And so, I've talked in here before about, I serve on the Warwick PAL board. And so I am completely aware that there is a deficiency in recreational assets in the city. either due to the quantity of them or the condition of them. And so I'm completely aligned that we need to make an investment in our recreational facilities. Is it the right project? So then the question is, yes, we need to make an investment in recreational facilities. The second question is this the right investment in our recreational facilities? We have sprawling facilities across the city in various states of condition, assets to them. So for instance, fields with lights, fields without lights, fields with fences, fields without fences, fields with dugouts, fields without dugouts, et cetera. And the director, Director Wiley, will, I'm sure, be happy to tell you that I've been reaching out since July, trying to really understand, you know, what is that inventory of all of our facilities? What is the current utilization of all those facilities? Like, are we constantly running into an issue where we don't have enough of X or where we don't have enough of Y? And I'd really want to see some analysis to that end before jumping into a $20 million project. I'll add to that, you know, we're in the middle of what will end up being probably a $400 million project to build two schools. We've already heard through the various public comment that we've had on that, that the recreational facilities are being scaled back. And so, you know, I know a lot of times we operate as we got the city and we got the schools, but as a city, we need to have a unified perspective on recreation. I take it that by you guys putting this on the agenda, you feel that we have $20 million we can spend on recreation.
No. We're only putting this on the agenda because we're ready to go. We can go after CHA and lock them up and get some professional services working for the city. And let's start. Yeah. We just want to start somewhere. That's all we want to do is get it started. You know, Mickey Stevens can be of a regional draw too, which could provide benefits for users outside of the city. That is a potential with it. To your point about PAL, we've been in discussions with the police athletic league, and we know that they're going to be able to utilize the basketball court at Aldridge. And so that's a good thing. So part of what we're doing is we're addressing recreational deficiencies in other ways through other projects in the city. And we're just trying to tackle as much as we can. Your point about an inventory and what's able to be maintained in terms of a recreational master plan, what's really desirable, that's important. And we're hoping the public workshops resolve some of that for us.
Interesting. Yeah. So maybe there's more work that's happened that, and there's a communication gap here, but I don't feel comfortable that you all have a coordinated plan to address recreation. Okay. And I think it's one of the top priorities that we need to focus on. So, so is it the right project? I think for me, it's still a question mark. And is it the right time? I think would be the other dimension of this decision. And given the unknowns on the school project, I just wonder if you know, could this project become part of a bigger solution to what may end up being a problem in the school project, which is less recreational capacity than I think we had originally envisioned. So those are my comments and thoughts. I'll leave it open to obviously to the rest of the group. I'm not looking to obstruct the process. I just want to make sure, listen, we're at the tail end of, you know, almost $50 million in government money, that in federal government money that we've been able to direct in various areas. We're never going to have it again. And we need to set the city up from a recreational perspective for the next, you know, 15 to 20 years. And this is kind of our last bite at the apple. So I want to make sure it gets done properly.
Points well taken. The only other thing I can think of adding to this is we're working on the comprehensive plan through the planning board, as you may know. And that has a recreational chapter. an element to the plan that might inform this a little bit as we flush that out. So that's just for what it's worth.
Thank you. Thank you, Director.
Thank you so much, Councilman. I'd also like to say that this is, as you mentioned, this is for a RFQ. So therefore, we did not go out for any federal grants yet, besides the grant that's sitting in the closet. Once we get the RFQ, then we can use that. We can pull that grant out of the storage and then also apply for other grants that fine tune and, if you will, piecemeal that every project within Mickey Stevens.
Yeah, there'll be opportunity with this being a phase project over successive years to chase money and bring grants into it.
Understood.
Especially with the green bond being supported. Yep,
because I do understand, and I hear loud and clear what the councilman's saying, and it's true. He's thinking about the future. There's a lot of things, a lot of moving parts moving forward. So I thank him for that. Are there any questions from members of this council? Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Director.
Good evening.
Just to piggyback on Councilman Gephardt's, the process is going forward. So again, this evening, this is just the rights to negotiate here to come up, but there will be more public hearings. I know there's going to be a lot of interest, especially as this, if this were to move forward, there's going to be a lot of interest. People are, you know, some people are baseball people, some people are pickleball, basketball, whatever it is. We want to make sure that there's plenty of opportunities for those people to be heard as well. So I think that was very important what the councilman pointed out of the process moving forward. So this is one part of that. This is just the right to negotiate. And then there will be more meetings to follow if they were to move forward. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. There's been some pretty good comments made regarding this, and we had met earlier today to address a few of the questions that I had, and we got that straightened out. I would be remiss if I didn't kind of step back in history a little bit. I'm a firm believer of giving people credit that's credit's due. And I know you and your staff and Parks and Recs have put a lot of time into this and work hard on this. But I just want to, particularly for the colleagues of mine that weren't on the city council back then, and perhaps, well, actually in second thought, I guess everybody was, but to give kudos to former Mayor Solomon. This was one of his visions, if you will, way back in the day. As a matter of fact, I have a copy of a press release with me speaking to that. So this has been, you know, in the works for quite some time. It's not just some dream child that just came up now. But I'm glad that the council president also qualified the fact that this isn't a done deal. This isn't the end. This is just the beginning, as the chairman said, and I'm comfortable with that. There's still, it's either a $7 or $8 million bond sitting there. I don't remember if it's 7 or 8, but nonetheless, it's been there for a very, very long time. And we've, over the years, have had many members of the public come before the city council, you know, pretty much putting a heavy press on getting this done. So I think that to get moving with this particular beginning is important. If you could, I had asked the question about 2 years from date of award. If you could just clarify that for everyone, is this 2 years from date of award to have the whole project completed, or is this 2 years for the study to be done and the bid process and then come back to us with numbers? Could you just clarify that for everyone?
I talked to Dean about it and what he meant by that, and it would be whatever project we end up framing with CHA, let's say, we're looking at 2 years to execute the project, get the project completed.
Mm-hmm. And just to further clarify on this, because that was a concern that I had with this award being to given to CHA, my concern was, so how is it that they're getting this thing without having to bid for it, right? And in actuality, the only thing that we're doing tonight is just giving you, if assuming it passes, giving you the go-ahead to start doing the design, the investigation, the putting the plan together. Once the plan and the bid specifications are drawn up, that's going to go out for bid to whoever wants to bid. Then you'll be coming back to the city council for a recommendation to us to decide on who's actually getting the project.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's just some of the points I wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any further questions? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I'm glad to see that there is being due diligence performed here, that there is a concern about Mickey Stevens and real action happening to try to address the state of those facilities. It seems to me that Mickey Stevens really should be a priority here, and this is coming as a matter of speaking on behalf of my constituents up in Ward 2 as well, because although Ward 2 might seem to be about as far as anywhere else in the city from Mickey Stevens, we have to keep in mind that the middle school students from Ward 2, that is grade 6, 7, and 8, are going on down to Warwick Vets, and Mickey Stevens is right there. And otherwise, as a city, we take a look at the recreational facilities across the city as a whole. Mickey Stevens is very much in a centralized location. It makes perfect sense to me that if we're going to have heavy investment into our parks and recreation, this type of facility, then, of course, Mickey Stevens should be receiving that type of investment. That's not to say that we should be ignoring the smaller parks, smaller recreational facilities throughout the city, and that's not what this bid is, or RFQ in this case, is about anyway. Seems to me that this is not a matter of eliminating anything for anything else, any other part of the city. Obviously, we have to keep everything in mind here that money being spent in one location can't be spent in more than one location. But again, it's all about, let's take a look at what we can do with Mickey Stevens, have that type of a discussion. And seems to me that we should be spending a little bit more, not a little bit less, on these aging facilities and the like. So when it comes to Mickey Stevens in particular, I'm not sure if we have any new information relatively recent years as to the environmental concerns that had been surrounding that in the past.
We do. VHB was contracted to amend and provide more detail to what they call the site investigation report, additional testing. They've done that. They've done the additional test pits. That's informing the city and providing us with a better understanding about exactly what contaminants are where and how they have to be removed and properly capped. And so we know all that now. So that's going to be part of the bid effort.
That's very good to hear. So, yeah, for all of those reasons, and because we really are at the very beginning stage here, and if at any time we see some red flags, whether it has to do with this particular development and set of improvements, or if it has to do with more citywide concerns and where we are and where we want to aim our priorities, we can put on the brakes at any time. Right. But at this time, it makes perfect sense to me that we should be moving forward and seeing what we can do to finally make progress on this after improving Mickey Stevens has been part of our citywide conversation for a good 20 years or so. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Councilman. Any further comments from members of this council? Are there any comments from members of the public? Thank you. Thank you, Director. Oh, Director, Councilman Gebhardt has another follow-up question. Go ahead, Councilman.
Thanks, Director. Just a follow-up on Councilman Lattiser's follow-up. So when I look in the scope of work in the RFP bid package, it reads to me like the public, you know, this public iterative process is a small portion of the monies that we would allocate to this overall project. Like the $1 million or whatever we're estimating is going to go into this, the bulk of that seems to be like the production of the construction documents,
right,
the preparation of the bid the bid package. So, you know, we are not really hiring this firm to take us through a process to figure out what we need. We're hiring this contractor to maybe hold two public sessions, maybe make some tweaks to the conceptual, but the bulk of their work is in the actual preparation of the final documents that go out to bid and then become reality.
Correct. Right. I mean, I could attribute that to the labor and the level of effort that goes into a couple public charrettes versus, you know, sitting down, AutoCAD, drawing out, surveying detail. Right. That level of effort is different.
Sure.
The cost for labor, too.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Councilman. The next item is item number two. Thank you, Director. Bid 2025-277. This is with the Warwick Fire Department Scott Air Pack Times 3 Pro Self-Contained Breathing Apparatus. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening, Assistant Chief Umbenhauer from the Fire Department. Fire Department is requesting spending authority in the amount of $718,200 under City Ordinance 5610 to purchase Scott Air Pack X3 Pro Self-Contained Breathing Apparatus. This request is for Municipal Emergency Services, Inc. They'll be purchased under the Sourcewell Cooperative Purchasing Agreement. In July, the fire department was awarded a $1 million assistance to firefighters grant. Included in the grant was the replacement of 72 new NFPA-compliant SCBA, includes the frame assembly, mask, and two additional cylinders. The grant allows for reimbursement of approved items while only requiring a 10% co-share. Fire Department's current inventory of SCBA was purchased back in 2011, also using an AFG grant. The SCBA currently are beyond their service life and require frequent and often costly repairs. If approved, the purchase price of $718,200 would be sourced from budget code 3680455, which is the FEMA FY23 AFG grant code.
Thank you, Chief. Are there any questions from members of this committee? Are there any questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening.
Chief, how did you arrive at 72 units?
That's what the AFG award is very specific. When they award the grant, they award it for 72 units, which is the number of ride-in positions in the fire department that we currently have. So we get one pack per ride-in position. They awarded us 72 packs, and they only authorize up to $10,000 per pack. So $720,000 of that $1.1 million grant actually is for air packs. We have to buy 72 in the exact way that it's stipulated in the grant, in the notice of funding.
Part of the deal.
Yep.
You go on to say that The grants allow for reimbursement of approved items while only requiring a 10% co-share. What does that mean?
That means for a $1 million grant, the city's on the hook to pay $100,000. So it's actually the entire award is for $1.1 million. The federal government's going to pay $1 million, and we only have to pay $100,000 of hard match from the city.
So we only have to pay $100,000 of the $718,000?
Well, of the $720,000, we would only be responsible for $72,000. So it's only 10% of the total cost. So we're paying $72,000 of that $720,000, and the government's paying the rest.
Okay. You, excuse me, you say that fire department's current inventory of SCBA was purchased back in 2011. How many units were purchased then?
I believe 64, I believe is the number that we had of riding positions at the time. We had less trucks and less positions.
And that was the same requirement for that bid that you had to do 64?
Yep. Yes, that you have to, what you stipulate in your grant application mm-hmm. and what they award you is very specific.
You say that the units we have now are currently beyond their service life and require frequent and often costly repairs. Who's been servicing these this equipment?
The same company, MES Shipments. Yep.
And how much approximately have you spent on this service, say, in the past year?
We spend, in the last two fiscal years, we spent about $25,000 in repairs for each of the fiscal years.
How much, please?
$25,000 each fiscal year for the last 2 years. And that price is expected to go up if we can even repair them. There's not even parts available for them.
This this contract from Sourcewell, it speaks to, on the last item, last paragraph, it says up to 16% discount off MSRP depending on product and or vendor. So does that mean there's going to be discounts off of these prices here?
So no, the Sourcewell requires the vendors, and any of these cooperative agreements require the vendors to have a minimum discount published to be part of the agreement. Vendors can go above and beyond that. The list price of these units, if we had with no discount, is $1,076,968. So we're getting about a 33.3% discount. We went through months of negotiations with this vendor.
So you have a list price.
I do have list prices. Yep, we requested list price from them, and the grant is very specific to all that information,
but
to make sure that we're getting at least 16%.
We don't have the list price in our binders, which is why I'm just asking this question now.
Okay. Yeah, I have the list prices.
I'm sorry?
I have the list prices.
So what was the discount off that list price?
The discount off the list price, if you just include the items that are listed on the quote, it was 31.25%. But then as we went in further negotiations with the vendor, they actually threw in about $32,000 worth of equipment, which is some spare regulators and spare harnesses. So that brought the list price up to a little bit, like I said,
$1,076,968. What?
968 is the list price of all the items listed on the quote that you have in front of you.
Got it.
That I calculate out to about a 33.3% discount on a list, which I think is anything north of 30% is ridiculously good.
Okay. And I believe that's all the questions I have, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further questions? Councilman Ricks.
I actually had a bit more of a procedural question here. I saw that it's piggybacking off of a Commonwealth of Massachusetts contract.
This one is piggybacking off of Sourcewell Cooperative Agreement.
Okay.
The next one is piggyback in Massachusetts.
Okay. Thank you. That's where I was, I suppose, confusing or conflating the two. Pardon that. One moment. When discussing months of negotiation, was it always the Scott AirPak X3 type, or were there different models that you had looked into?
We did look into different models. The pricing is similar, if not more expensive than the Scott AirPak. The benefit of running with Scott AirPak specifically, other than its long history, this is, you know, 3M now owns Scott Company. The long history that not only the department but the country has with Scott AirPaks. All of our surrounding communities all use Scott, so we're compatible with all the surrounding communities. Our existing supply is Scott, so we can reutilize any of our existing air cylinders, all of our connections, everything that we have right now is Scott. If we had moved to a different vendor, the only real other vendor out there is MSA, who's also a pretty well-known company. We weren't as impressed with the pack. The warranty is not as good as Scott's. And we'd have a lot of compatibility issues with surrounding communities and with our existing equipment. So when we were negotiating, we ended with Scott as our recommendation.
That makes sense. Thank you for doing your diligence on this.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Are there any further questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Thank you, Chief. Bid 2025-278, fire to purchase two Bauer Unicus 4i breathing air fill stations. Chief.
Good evening, Assistant Chief Umanow for the Fire Department. The Fire Department's requesting spend authority in the amount of $241,885.88 under City Ordinance 5610 to purchase two Bauer Unicus 4i breathing air fill stations from Fire Tech and Safety. These would be purchased under the Commonwealth of Massachusetts MPA PSE01. The quoted price includes all transportation fees, placement, installation, and startup. FireTech and Safety has two of these units in stock and available for rapid delivery and installation. If approved, the purchase price of $241,885.88 would be sourced from approved ARPA capital outlay funds, budget code 510-05035.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions from members of this committee? Questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisaw.
Chief, do we have these items now?
We do have two compressors. We have two Scott compressors. Scott does no longer in the compressor business. We have one at Station 1, and we have one at Station 8 at the airport. The one at Station 1 is from 2012. The one at Station 8 was originally purchased in 99, and it was had a major refurb in 2018. If that answers your questions. But they're Scott compressors. They're no longer manufactured, supported, or parts available for them.
Do these items, these particular two, will they also be servicing the police department?
The police department does use our compressors for their breathing air needs. So their breathing air needs is for their scuba tanks. And yes, they fill their scuba tanks at our breathing air stations. Okay. Yep. That's why we have if you see on the quote, there's hose reels on them. But with these, that's now how we do it. But with these new compressors, they'll actually be able to put their bottles directly into our fill stations. They're made to accommodate scuba as well as SCBA.
And you didn't go out for bid on this, right?
Nope. This was, we got piggybacked the Massachusetts state bid on this one, because they're immediately available units.
These prices that I'm looking at from Fire Tech and Safety, the quote, is that the same company as Operational Services Division? OSD?
OSD is Operational Services Division is the Mass State bid.
It's what, please?
Commonwealth of Massachusetts, their MPA system is called the Operational Services Division, OSD. That's like the Rhode Island State MPA. The Commonwealth of Massachusetts combis. They have a different name and different functionality of their state bid, their state MPA system, master price system.
So this sheet that we have on in our packet that shows the discount off the MSRP, is that, does that go along with the pricing?
Yep, that's the, that was what was FireTech and Safety had submitted to the state of Massachusetts as their proposal for the bid.
So do you have the list price on all these items?
I do. Yep, the list price, discounts on? It was $260,560.
In totality?
In totality, yeah. So you're looking 8%, is that correct? You think?
So on their list price, the list prices that they provided you, did you or someone do the math to compare to the discounts that they're offering to make sure we got the right,
Yeah, so 260,000, they're offering 5% discount. So 260,000, if you go $260,000, you're looking at, for, you know, 10% of that would be 26,000, so $13,000 difference, and this is almost $19,000 difference. So I think it winds up to about 7%. It's definitely over the 5%, more than they're required.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions from members of this council? Questions from members of the public? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Item number four is bid 2025-280. This is MIS IMC software support. This is found on page 15. Good evening, Director.
Good evening, Phil Carlucci, IT Director. This is a request under City Ordinance 56-6 to award Central Square, which was formerly known as Tri-Tech Software Systems, renewal, maintenance, and technical support in the amount of $68,457.70. This represents a 6.5% increase over last year's charge. This is for the support of the IMC system, which the police use basically to run their entire operation. It's their central system.
Thank you, Director. Any questions from members of this committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
Now we've come to the part of the bid package where I will call on members of the committee, members of the public, I'm sorry, members of the committee, members of the council, members of the public to request an item for discussion. I have a few that I'd like to, while everyone reviews and goes over their notes, I have a couple I'd like to pull. I'd like to pull item number seven. That is bid 2024-080 HVAC services for the city-owned building. I would also like to pull item number 10. That is bid 2025-080 computer hardware and related equipment. I would also like to pull item number 11, bid 2025-254 radar calibration and repairs. And I will now call on any members of the Finance Committee that would like to pull and discuss. Thank you. Thank you. Are there any items that members, Council President, thank you. Are there any items that members of the Council would like to discuss? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you. Item number five, found on page 19, 2025-023. Item number six, found on page, I'm sorry, item number five is found on page 19. Item number six, found on page 25, is 2025-279. Item number eight, found on page 38, Elite Rescue Service. And item number 13, found on page 56, bid number 2025-217. And just bear with me 1 minute, Mr. Chairman.
While the councilman reviews, are there any other members of the council? Just for the record, I'm just going to go to the public, then I'll come right back to you, councilman. Are there any members of the public? One at a time. Thank you. Councilman, whenever you're ready.
That's good, Chairman. I'm all set with the ones I called.
Thank you. So we'll go in order as we traditionally do. So the next item that we will discuss will be item number 5. Excuse me. That is a bid 2025-023, public safety equipment, fire equipment, supplies, and services. That is found on page 19. I would like to start, Chief, please introduce, and Councilman, I'll give it to you, but I just want to identify something quick. Chief, please.
Assistant Chief Umman Howard from the Fire Department.
Thank you. There was, upon reviewing this, there was an email that was sent out that I believe was shared with all the members of the council upon reviewing this bid packet. So I just want to ensure that everyone received that email. But just so you'll know, there was an email put out where, and I'm sorry, I'm just, here it is. The majority of the spending authority was used for equipment and supplies necessary to outfit the two new pumpers that arrived last week. That was the email that was sent because our initial question was, let us know what the reason for the $45,000 increase. So that above the bid that was awarded in April of 2024, and the answer was we have two new pumpers that just arrived, so you have to equip them. I put that out there for public knowledge because it was within the email that was shared with members of this council. So thank you, Councilman. You have the floor.
So the chairman stole my thunder on that one. But, so my question is, why wasn't, first of all, how much of this $45,000 spending authority was used for two other vehicles?
The majority of it, so we spent $42,100 so far on that bid.
It was how much?
$42,100. I'm not sure the exact number was spent on those pumpers, but I would say it's the majority of it was spent on equipment, replacing old and outdated and equipment that would needed to go onto the new trucks.
But I thought this was used for equipment and supplies for the two new pumpers.
Correct. It was used to replace, so their existing equipment, when we put new pumpers in service, they don't come with any equipment or any mounting or any supplies at all. They just come with ladders. So what we typically do is we go through the existing trucks. We see what needs to be replaced, what's due for replacement. Usually on the vehicle replacements, the time that we go through the entire inventory of the truck and refresh it. So that in that process, which we started back earlier this calendar year and included for our budgetary purposes for this fiscal year, was the equipment that needed to be replaced. Some stuff just isn't compatible between the old trucks and the new trucks.
How long did it take us to get these two new pumpers?
We got them. They just arrived last week. We just went and looked at them today. They'll be in service within the next week or two.
But how long ago did we put the order in?
We ordered one of them a little over two years ago. And believe it or not, we ordered the last one last September. Mm-hmm. But because we piggybacked on an existing bid, we tacked on another truck. It was put in line right behind the truck that we already were waiting a year for. So we got it almost a year early.
So during that time that you're waiting for these new vehicles, why wasn't a number put together for what you would need to put on these trucks? I mean, there seems to be a lot of time there to take a look at these trucks that you were going to cannibalize or use other parts for. And when these, particularly with the last vehicle, when it came in, why weren't these numbers, you know, presented to us before?
We do our best to put those numbers together. This bid is mostly used for small tools and portable type of equipment and appliances and things like that. So appliances would be like nozzles and things that move water. Problem is, We have other bids that also affect those supplies and equipment, not just this one. This is only just one part of it. We have also other bids that we obviously come to the council for approval for other types of equipment. Figuring out which of those buckets the money's coming from that early is kind of difficult until we actually start getting out there buying and going out to bid for stuff to see if we want to use the state contract or if it's actually more beneficial to go out to bid. So really don't know until we actually go out to bid and get those bids back. And we don't want to do that, obviously, 18 months, 2 years in advance. I don't want to buy something, have it sitting around for 2 years.
Now, when the department came before us for approval on these two new vehicles, had it been conveyed to us at that time, and I honestly don't remember, to tell you the truth, was it conveyed to us at that time that there was going to be additional monies required to outfit of complete outfitting these two vehicles?
No, typically we don't do that. Any vehicles that we buy the vehicle because we're spending capital money on those vehicles. We typically just, when we spec out those trucks, we just spec the vehicle itself and not all of the ancillary equipment to go with it. That could be very expensive. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to replace some of the equipment lasts more than the life of the vehicle. So we don't typically spec that into the vehicle. A lot of places will build that into the cost of the vehicle and inflate their vehicle costs with all that little equipment. We would rather get that price as low as possible and just give you the price of the truck itself. And then we have an operating budget. That firefighting supplies budget that we have within our operating budget is for exactly this reason. It's for replacing worn, outdated, and broken small tools and small portable equipment. So we're just using our normal operating budget. That's where this money's coming from. It's our firefighting supplies budget. We use our normal operating budget to do this as part of our, you know, refreshment of that equipment before it gets to the point where it can't be fixed anymore.
And have we received all of the new vehicles we've approved so
Excuse me?
Have we received all of the new vehicles that we have approved?
Nope, we still have this fiscal year, we approved a new pumper and a new rescue. Those are slated to be about 2 years out. And we're still waiting on two more rescues from fiscal year 23 and fiscal year 24. The problem with those is chassis. They just can't get chassis for them. So as soon as they get the Super Duty chassis and they become available, those will go on the line and we're hoping to get them late spring ish area is what we're being told at the latest.
So we should assume that we'll have something like this coming before us when these other vehicles come in as well, right?
The rescues are pretty well equipped. That equipment is refreshed very often because it gets used so hard that the EMS budget for that usually covers most of that stuff on an ongoing basis. But for the next pumper that we have coming in, it's 2 years out. Mm-hmm. So I probably would budget for it in the next budget cycle,
right,
is when we would be budgeting for that.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any further questions from members of the council? Are there any questions from members of the public? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Next will be bid 2025-279. This is MIS Integral Cash Registers, Integrated cash registers. This is found on page 25. Councilman Lattice, you'll have the floor. Director, please identify.
Phil Carlucci, IT director.
Thank you. Director, in the position paper we have here, it says these include the pool, ice skating rink, parks and recreation, walk PD, Pilgrim Center, etc. In this cash register, this is basically something brand new, right?
Yeah, currently the city's main revenue stream, obviously, is tax collection. We have the Tyler integrated cash register systems that go into the financial system, and it's concluded. All our minor, relatively speaking, our minor revenue sources take in payments in various methods. None of them are integrated into the financial system. Some of them are envelopes. Some of them are cigar boxes, just not how we should be running business. So This is trying to place cash registers, the Tyler revenue cycle cash registers, at those locations. So when revenue is received, it's recorded. It'll reduce on the number of journal entries, the handling of cash and sending it back and forth and stuff.
I agree with your comment that this is not how we should be running business. So with that said, is food trucks going to be included in this? I don't see them listed here.
This would be revenue for the city's revenue. Well, it would be Parks and Rec. So it depends on how it's received. This is mostly citizen-facing transactions, boat dock fees, pool fees, things along those lines. If by chance we had food vendors paying us, walking in the door with a check as compared to sending it into finance, I don't know how it's done right now, but if it was something like that, then yes, that would be handled under the Parks and Rec, getting a cash register so that when they received funds for a softball tournament using a field or something, making stuff up, but whatever the revenue would be.
The food truck vendors are paying the city.
I just don't know what method mm-hmm. they do. Do they send a check after the fact? Do they walk into Parks and Rec? This mm-hmm. is really... I'm told that they do both. So to answer your question, yes, we would get a register that would be able to handle that facing traffic when they walked in with a check.
Okay. All right. I'll hold any further questions for a later date, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Members of the committee, Councilman Gebhardt.
Hi, Director. So are these going to be mobile units?
They can be mobile units, just not overly mobile. So this is not like these are cash registers, cash drawer. There's a separate, we'll talk about that in a little bit. There's a separate piece to this that's actually the computer piece.
The hardware, yeah.
It can be a tablet, but they're really made for connected to the network type of transactions. The swipe card, you know, the pay card you're talking about that goes onto a mobile phone, we've looked at those. There is a Tyler option for that. We just haven't been able to justify it.
Okay. These would take cash and card?
It would depend on the transaction. Card becomes an issue for everything that we do here because, unlike a retail organization that can absorb that X percent, 3%, 5%, 6%, 2.5%, whatever that transaction percent is, a retail location can absorb that, give a cash discount to offset it for people paying cash. In the city, we transfer that to everyone. So once again, when you're talking about a high revenue item, it's a relatively, we've negotiated a very favorable rate. So it's a relatively low amount of money someone's paying to use a credit card. If you have someone coming in that's going to purchase a cup of coffee at the senior center for 35 cents, there's a minimum of 250. So your 35 cent coffee, I'm making that up, but your 35 cent coffee becomes 285. Not many people are going to be pulling out a credit card for that. So we'll judge by the location of what the transactions are and whether it warrants having people using a credit card paying that extra fee.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions for members of this council? Any questions for members of the public on this bid? All set? Thank you. Next in order will be bid 2024-080, HVAC services for city-owned buildings. Just to get it out there, may I ask the city clerk, may I have a PCR, please? 108-24. And if I'm correct, Chrissy, you're requesting a motion to withdraw.
That's correct.
Thank you. So per request of the department, formerly bid 2024-080, HVAC services for city-owned buildings, is now PCR 108-24, and the department will make a motion to withdraw under the discussion. Any questions from this committee?
God bless you.
Questions from the council? Questions from the public? May I? I will make the motion to withdraw. Is there
a second?
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. It's not amended, so we don't need. Thank you. Next is bid 2025-268 Elite Rescue Software Maintenance. This is also Councilman Lattisler. This is found on page 38. Good evening, Director. Director, please identify, then Councilman, you have the floor.
Phil Carlucci, IT Director.
How did we go from having 30% less calls to expecting significant increase in our costs?
You may be misreading that. So the company has changed. They've notified us that they're changing their billing method. So they had a standard, I don't know what the current billing method is based on, but they're switching to a per call billing unit. As an example, they put forward to us that where we started from, our call number is 30% low than our current call number. They are using our original, when we first got the software's original call number, to base it on their new per call volume. That put us down compared to last year. We went down about $500. They notified us, though, that next year they will true up, and that 30% less call volume that they're charging us this year, whatever our call volume is for next year, will be trued up. That's going to increase us about 30% of the call fraction they're using, and I don't know what that percentage is yet.
So we're doing less calls. We're not.
No, we're doing 30% more calls.
More calls.
Yeah, but what they're basing this year's invoice on is 30% less calls than we are currently doing.
I see. Okay.
It's gone up over the last 4 or 5 years, about 30%.
And you said that this is going to represent a significant increase for us next year. Do we have an idea of how much that significant increase is going to be?
No, I don't. For the, as a standard, if there is one as a standard, a software company that's using a unit-based costing usually has a base unit. So I'm making up numbers. I'm going to charge you $500 to support this software. Then I'm going to add on to that a dollar per sale. If your sales go up 30%, your cost doesn't go up 30% because you have a base of $500. It's 30% on that piece of it. I don't know what the breakdown is for them. We will start that negotiation a little bit earlier next year. Obviously, anytime we get an increase, we always try to negotiate.
Sure.
This was a bit of a negotiation on the fire department's side this year to keep it from jumping up this year, and that's how we got the base price.
When you say next year, is that next fiscal year or next calendar year?
This actually splits two fiscal years, so it'll be next fiscal year, next calendar year.
So this is something that we will be seeing with the new budget in 2026 or for 25-26, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And as a rule, when we do the budget, we go out to all the vendors, ask them to give us their best guess estimate on cost.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions for members of this committee? Questions for members of the council? Questions for members of the public? Thank you. The next item is item number 10. Thank you, Director. Of bid 2025-080, computer hardware and related equipment. Madam Clerk, if I'm correct, the next PCR will be PCR 109-24. Director, your request is to amend the request from $14,000 to $20,200, an increase of $6,200?
Yes. Phil Carlucci, IT Director. Yes, sir. what this is in reference to is we had a project that we were requesting $14,000 to be added on to our existing hardware budget. That is for tablets related to the assessor's department for field updates so that they don't have to write things down, come back and type them at the office. I put in another request, the previous bid we were discussing on cash registers, there's a component of that that needs computers or tablets. That request was put in but did not make tonight's docket. By the director of purchasing's request or suggestion, I've just taken that $6,200 that would have been submitted as a separate project and moved it into here since it's the same bid that we're increasing and it's the same funding source, the ARPA funding source that would go through. So where this request was for $14,000 in additional equipment, I am now raising that to $20,200, an increase of $6,200, which will increase the total of year-to-date amount on that to $138,583.88. The $6,200 is for the computer equipment that goes along with the cash register project.
Thank you. And just for housekeeping, this is formerly bid 2025-080, computer hardware and related equipment. It is now PCR 109-24. As given by the testimony by the director, it is to increase the request amount for this evening on this item from $14,000 to $20,200. $20,200. That is an increase of $6,200. Any questions, further questions beyond the discussion by the director from this committee? Questions from members of the council? Questions from the public? Thank you. May I have a motion?
Favorable action on the amendment.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. May I have a motion as amended?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Director. Next would be item number 11, bid 2025-254, radar calibration and repairs. Madam Clerk, may I have a PCR, or I should say the PCR will be PCR 110-24? Thank you, Madam Clerk. And Major, please identify.
Major Andy Sullivan for the police department.
Thank you. Good to see you, Major. Thank you.
You too.
And your request will be to amend this from $5,000 request to a $7,000 request, an increase of $2,000, correct?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Go ahead. Please explain.
Yeah. So today I looked at our current bid and where we are with the spending authority from the $5,000 last time. And we're at somewhere in the area of $4,700 and change. And we've been increasing a few radars every year, so that price is only going to go up for the calibration and for the maintenance costs. So I didn't want to have to come back here 6 months from now asking for an extension on this.
Understood. Thank you. Are there any questions for members of this committee? Any questions from members of this council? Are there any questions from members of the public? Yes, please.
Thank you. Ian Sheridan. Question I have relates to the new school cams, the 20 mile an hour school cameras and their calibration. Are we considering enough resources in this budget to accommodate that's going to a need as well? Because I would imagine people getting tagged will want to have some validation that the speed limits or the speed testing need to be calibrated and checked periodically.
So the
what I'm asking is, do we have enough resources in this budget line to ensure that the calibration can take effect for all of the monitoring, all of the school cams, and the speed ticketing that's going to be going on in the spring when these new sites roll out.
Major Sullivan, please, is this...
Those cameras are all under the control and maintenance of Ultimate, and that's the vendor for the automated cameras, and they are, that cost is on them to calibrate all their cameras and to be substantiated at court.
Good, thank you.
Thank you. Bear with me, please.
We've been for 4 years.
Are there any further questions? Oh, I apologize for members of the public. Thank you. May I have a motion on the amendment?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. May I have a motion as amended?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Next would be item number 13, bid 2025. Thank you, Major. Bid 2025-217, repair and replace frame on engine 13. This is found on page 56 in the bid package. Good evening. This was requested by Councilman Lattiser. Good evening, Christy.
Good evening.
Please identify, and then I'll pass, and then Councilman Lattiser, you have the floor.
Christy Moretti, Public Works.
Thank you, Chairman. Hi, Christy.
Good evening.
So, I'm sure you all remember we had extensive discussion on engine 3. And during that discussion, it was also learned that we had the wrong year of the truck listed. Now it's coming to us like a month later, and we're being told that it was actually the wrong manufacturer that was listed on that item that we awarded. So how was that discovered, that it was the wrong vendor given to us that we approved?
So I was not present at the meeting when this was originally brought to the council. But I did do the original paperwork. What I can tell you is that after this had gone to been presented to the city council for approval, and we went through that process, I reached out to fire and asked them to secure the W-9 for the vendor so I could issue the purchase order, assuming that it was Pierce. They did that. They got a W-9, and the W-9 came back to Allegiance, so we couldn't issue the purchase order. So then I started to put the pieces together and then figured out, and then I did actually speak with the representative at Allegiance that the purchase orders should not be issued to Pierce. It should be issued to Allegiance. Allegiance is handling the repairs for this vehicle. They are going to oversee the project. They'll take care of getting this vehicle to Wisconsin. So here we are. It's just a vendor change on so we can get the purchase order issued.
And is there any other information about this bid or this truck that isn't accurate that we should know about?
No, I think that that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Has this truck been delivered?
No.
Has it been ordered?
We own the truck.
Okay.
It hasn't gone out yet to be fixed.
Okay. And the specs that were given to us for Pierce Manufacturing on this vehicle, we have a whole list of items, specs, etc. But what I don't have is the specs for Allegiance. So is the specs that we approved for Pierce Manufacturing, are they the same exact specs and vehicle that we'll be receiving from Allegiance.
Yes, as I noted in the memo, that there is no change in the scope of work, price, or any other terms of the contract. And you actually do have on page 5859, looks identical to the Pierce quote that we received, but it is for Allegiance. So
on page 58, where it shows us one 2011 Pierce Velocity Pumper, that's not supposed to be there. It's supposed to be Allegiance.
It says right on the front. It says Allegiance Fire on that page.
Okay, down below where it says prepared by, right? Is that what you're talking
Correct.
About?
Correct. So the brand name of the pumper is Pierce. Okay. It's kind of like buying a Chevy. But this quote is for Allegiance, which is who we need to issue the PO to.
Okay, so this quote that we have in our binder is for Allegiance.
Correct.
Okay. All right, thank you, Chairman. That's all I have.
Thank you. Are there any further questions for members of this committee? Are there any further questions for members of the council? Are there any further questions for members of the public? Thank you, Christy. Per request of Councilman Gebhardt, I have no objections. I'll present it. He requested that we put a PCR to bid the first item, bid 2025-244 RFQ Design Services for Mickey Stevens Sports Complex. If I remember correctly, a council person can request that at any time. So we already had discussion on it. So Madam Clerk, on that bid, it'll be PCR-111-24, correct? Thank you so much. May I have a since I'm going to be calling for a motion, we had discussion. Are there any further discussion from this committee, within the committee? Are there any further discussion from the council? And is there any discussion from the public? Again, per request of Councilman Gebhardt, may I have a motion on PCR? And if I may respectfully request to make that motion, I request favorable action on PCR-111-24.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. May I have a motion for the full consent calendar?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. The time is now 6:19 and the Warwick Finance Committee is closed. Thank you, everybody.